Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord in Jesus' name. We are here and we are live once again right here on the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle radio show. I welcome each and every person to the show on today right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We are live. And if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you're hearing my voice, but if you're listening to me right now, you're blessed because you are in the land of the living, y'all. And we praise God for being here. This is the show that gets your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. God bless you, each and every one of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. First, want to give honor to Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, in Jesus' name, giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network, of this great network. I ain't even just going to say network, but I'm going to say of this great network, of the Spirit Alive Network, Apostle Cook. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. And all of the Spirit Alive family, God bless you in Jesus' name. And I want to give honor to, last but not least, honor to my pastor, Pastor William A. Tuggle III, and my First Lady Cosette Chopman Tuggle, in Jesus' name, and giving honor to all of our listeners, in Jesus' name, and unto my family, my beautiful wife, in Jesus' name, and my children, in Jesus' name. God bless you all. Today, we have a phenomenal topic on today. Amen. If you saw my Facebook post on this morning and throughout the week, I was talking about the topic on today. And the topic is simply God's soul love. That's it. God's soul love. He died that we might, that we may have life. He died that we may have life. And I want to say before we get started, happy Resurrection Weekend, y'all. Amen. We are in the middle of Resurrection Weekend. In Jesus' name, tomorrow is Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Well, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're talking about God's soul love, his love for us, that he came and he died. Not only did he die, he was put in a tomb. He was in there for 3 days, 3 nights. And he got up, he resurrected out of the grave. And all power was given unto him, both heaven and in earth, so that we might have right to the tree of life, so that we might have right to life in an eternity. Amen. Today, I want to start off in, which is a very, very familiar passage of scripture on today. As we see the title, God's soul love. You Bible scholars probably already know what scripture I'm about to start off with, and that's John chapter 3, verse 16. Amen. This is the starting point of the topic today. Amen. And everybody is familiar with this passage of scripture. It's said around the world. It's said in football football stadiums. Those of y'all that love football, I'm going to say those of y'all because I don't like football that much. But in John 3:16, it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That word, life. When we look at this verse, this first verse that we are talking about, very familiar passage of scripture, like I said, "For God so loved the world." He so loved us that he gave his life for us. And I would like to add on something that my former pastor, Pastor Dorothy McGordon, used to say, that if you were the only person on the face of the earth, he would have done this just for you. Amen. He would have done this just for you. He would have came unto this world and he would have died just for you. Amen. If we look at this, if we dive deeply into this verse, it lets us know that God came into the world that we might have life. He died for the life of mankind. Amen. We were in a state of emergency. We were in a state of emergency with sin. We were separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. His death on the cross gave us access to eternity and salvation, to salvation and eternity. His death on the cross gave us power, power to tell sin no. His death on the cross gave us access to salvation, gave us access to his name, gave us access to which is recorded in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the power of the Holy Ghost. It gave us access to the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In Romans chapter number 6, starting at verse number 4, it says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the grace of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life." If we are found, we were found by God with his death. But when we look in the scriptures, we have to look at why he died. He died for the sins of mankind, but he also died to give us life. Life for what? Life to just to live down here? No. He gave us life. He died to give us life spiritually. If we go back in the Bible days and we look at the children of Israel and we look at Israel in general, if we look at the Jews were considered God's chosen people, and they're still considered as God's chosen people. And if we look in the Word of God, the Jews were in captivity, naturally and spiritually. And they were looking for the Messiah, and even Jews today are still waiting on the Messiah to come. Amen. But after 2,000 years ago, the Messiah has come and gone. Amen. And that Messiah that they were looking for, and the Jews that are still alive today that are looking for the Messiah, this Messiah was Jesus Christ. And he came not to just set them free naturally from their natural bondage, but he came to set them free from their spiritual bondage, the bondage of sin, the bondage of shame, the bondage of iniquity. But if we look in the scripture, if we go down, Jesus, God died that we may have, might take on his spirit. He saw the spirit man. He saw the soul of man. And he knew that the soul of man needed to be set free from the sin of Adam, the sin that Adam brought into the world. This is why for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that we might be free from sin, the sin and the shame, the bondage, the captivity of sin. This is why he came. This is why he went around the earth ministering and preaching and healing. And this is the reason why he went to Calvary, to set us free. Amen. In Romans, I said, God died that we may take on his spirit to live in heaven with him. In Romans chapter number 8, this is where we're going to look at. This is what we're going to look at in Romans chapter number 8. He died that we might be able to take on his spirit, so that we might be able to live with him in heaven. In Romans chapter number 8, I want to go there. Let's see what Romans chapter number 8 says. Verse 11. Romans chapter number 8, verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him that rose up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. This is why he came and died, that we might take on his spirit. This was the gift that he promised us. This was the comforter. He said, if I do not depart, the comforter will not come. The comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. This is the spirit that God is talking about in this verse. The same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. This was the reason why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. This is the spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead. Amen. That got him up out of the grave. If we have this same spirit on the inside of us, and you hear me talking about it every Saturday, every show that we talk about, every topic that we talk about on each show, I talk about the Spirit of God being on the inside of us. This same Spirit that we talk about day to day, the Holy Ghost, we have to have this Holy Ghost to be able to, if we should go by the grave or should we live to see the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church, which is recorded in 1 Thessalonians, which we're getting ready to go there real quick. But this verse in Romans chapter number 8, verse 11, talks about the quickening of our mortal bodies. If we have that spirit, the spirit of the Holy Ghost power, this is what Jesus came and died for, so that we might gain access to this Holy Ghost, so that should we see the grave or should we live to see the rapture of the church? Because everybody that has the Spirit of Christ is going in the rapture. But I want to go to 1 Thessalonians just to show you what I'm talking about. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verses 16 and 17, I want to show you This is why Jesus died. This is another reason why Jesus came into the world and died for our sins. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 16 and 17. Right here in verse 16 it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." How can they rise up? As we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that spirit that rose up Jesus, this is the same spirit that is talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 16. It says, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." How can they get up from the grave? They had the Spirit of Christ on the inside of them. They had the Holy Ghost. This is the Spirit that will raise them up out of the grave. The same that rose Jesus from the grave. The same Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the grave will be the same Spirit that raises up the body of Christ out of the grave. Now watch this. In verse number 17, it reads, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." This is what Jesus came and died for. Amen. And if you don't believe me, we're going to go to John chapter 10, verse 10, real quick. If a person is listening and you still don't believe, John 10 and 10 says, "For the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I came that they may have life." The life lies in him. The life lies in the Holy Ghost. See, the same life that he wanted to give his people, the same life, both spiritually and naturally. This is why he said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What is that abundant life? That spiritual life, that Holy Ghost power, so that you might be able to live life, both spiritually and naturally. This is the same thing that God was trying to give the Jews. But how? You might say, well, why did he want to give the Jews this life that he's talking about? The same life that he talked about with the woman at the well. This is the life that he was talking about with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. This Samaritan woman was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. Amen. And as we go deeper into this lesson, we'll find out how we, along with the woman at the well, was engrafted in to the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ was the Jews. But we were engrafted in because the Jews received him not. His own received him not. And we'll get deeper into it. But out of God's love, he paid the sin debt for us. He paid the sin debt that separated us from him. Amen. He paid it. In Isaiah 59, we can see the sin debt that separated us. In Isaiah 59, verse number 2, let's go there. Amen. Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 59. Amen. And I like this book because it lets us know in Isaiah 59, verse number 2. I love this verse because it lets us know what the sin was. It let us know. It let us know that the sin that we were in kept us separate from the Lord. Amen. In Isaiah 59, verse number 2, it says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, that he will not hear. Amen. Our sin, the sins of mankind, the sins of the Jews, the sins of the Gentiles have separated us from God. But thanks be to God from his love, that so love united us back together. That death on the cross united us back together with him. Amen. Because our sins, the sins of man that separated us, the fall of Adam separated us. That's why Adam was kicked out of the garden. It was a separation. And that separation kept us from God. This was the separation that kept us from God. This is why God came into the world, to save his people from their sins, as it's recorded in Matthew 1 and 21. Matter of fact, let's go there. Matthew 1 and 21. You might say, well, Minister Adam, I'm not understanding what you're talking about, so break it down even further. Okay. It said that he came that we might have life. He came that we might have life. Okay. As it's recorded in John chapter 10, verse 10. He came that we might have life, and that more abundantly. Now watch this. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, verses 21 through 23. This is what he's talking about. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, what is his people? The Jews. He was talking about the Jews. And he was talking about us because we weren't grafted in. Amen. Now, let's read verse, I said through 23. Let's read verse 22. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. He came that we might have life. He came unto the world. Another scripture that is recorded in the Bible is John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He came, this body that God created and put into the womb of Mary, came into the world and died for us that we might have life that we might have life, not just natural life, but spiritual life. Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, because I'm going to show you. Out of God's love, he paid the sin debt that separated us from him. Watch this. This is the sin debt. Sin had debt to it. Our sin had debt to it. Watch this. In Romans chapter number 6, I'm going to show you that sin had debt to it. Romans chapter number 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin, the wages of sin, that's why the debt, that was the debt. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. This shows us that our sins needed to be paid. Our sin needed to be paid. It shows us right here in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. That is the sin debt. That debt needed to be paid. Jesus went to the cross. He paid the sin debt. And out of that payment, gave us the gift of life, gave us the gift, not just life, but eternal life, that abundancy, as it's recorded in John chapter 10, verse 10, which we read. He came that we might have life, and that more abundantly. That abundant life is the spiritual life, that eternal life. That gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This is why, this is the sin debt that separated us, but he paid it. Amen. God loved his people. God loved his chosen people to come and free them. But they denied him. That gave us right. That gave us right to life. Amen. I'm going to show you in John chapter 1, verse 11. Amen. God's chosen people, he came onto the earth, the Messiah. The Messiah. The Jews were looking for the Messiah and still waiting on the Messiah today. And the Messiah over 2,000 years ago done came and gone. He came, paid the sin debt. He healed. He delivered. He healed blind eyes. He did all these marvelous works. For 33 years he was on the earth. He was 33 when he died. He was 33 years old, and he had 3 years of ministry, 3 years where he worked. But out of those 33 years, he was working, amen, from childhood on to manhood, on to death, he worked. Amen, because as a child, he said, I got to go about my father's business. I got to do my father's business. Amen. As a child, he worked. As a teenager, he worked. And as a man, he worked. Amen. He worked and showed and gave us an example, spiritually and naturally. He showed us how, spiritually, he showed us how to live life. He showed us how to live life naturally. He showed us how to live life spiritually. He showed a man, how to be a man. The Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Jesus, in the natural, was a carpenter. He worked. He was that example. He worked in the spiritual. He showed us how to cast out demons. He showed us how to pray. He showed us how to live life. Amen. Out of God's so love. He showed us. And I'm moving in the spirit right now. I'm not moving on the reflect of Adam right now. He showed us how to be great men and women of God in the natural and in the spiritual. He said, greater works than these shall ye do. What is he talking about? He was talking about the greater works than these shall ye do. He was talking about better works than him. You shall be, you now shall come to the forefront and be the workmanship of me. You shall now show the love of God. You shall now show the love of Christ. The love of Christ shall be in you. I was the example, and now you're the examples. When I leave off the scene, I'm going to put my spirit in you to be the examples of me. I'm going to allow, when he came, he was the example. And when he put his spirit in us, we now became the examples for the world. We became the examples for the world to see that there is a God of our salvation. Now, let's go to John chapter 1, starting at verse 11, because I'm going to show you. This is not from the book of Adam, but this is from the word of God. This did not come from the book of Adam Tuggle, but this came from the word of God. John chapter 1, because I said that he came unto his own, and the Jews did not receive him. I want you to see this. I want you to read this in the word of God. Amen. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, starting at verse 11, I'm going to read it in your hearing. And if you got your Bibles, I want you to read it with me. Amen. And it reads, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. What he was talking about in this verse was the Jews. Thank God that they did not receive him. Thank God that they didn't receive him. Why? Because that gave us access. That engrafted us in. Amen. Now, if we look further down in the verse number 12 and verse 13, it reads, in verse number 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. Which were born, verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. But of God. The will of God. Not the will of man, not the will of the flesh, but the will of God. Which were born not of blood. And the reason why he said not of blood, because mankind's blood was tainted with sin. Mankind's blood was tainted with sin, y'all. The bloodline of mankind was tainted with sin. So we were not bought with the blood of man. Amen. We were not given power by the power of man. Because man's power couldn't do it. We saw that in the Garden of Eden. Man's power could not fight off the sinful nature. Could not fight off Satan's ability. Man's power could not fight off Satan's Satan's direction for our life. See, we read in John chapter 10, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Man's power could not fight that off. Could not fight off Satan's desire to steal, kill, and destroy us. But it was God's power. And it was God's ability that we were able to fight off the will. That's why it says, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. Because our will cannot fight off Satan's devices. That's why the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's why our battle is not against man. My battle is not against my enemies. And when I say my enemies, I'm not talking about the devil. I'm talking about mankind, the people that despitefully use you. My battle is not with the people that despitefully use me, the people that don't like me. My battle is not with them. And I've said this before. My battle is with the enemy, the devil, the thief. Came and took life from us, that took that relationship from us in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden. He took that relationship from us, that bond that we had with God. But God came and bound us back together. Yes, he came unto his own first, but his own deceived him not. His own came, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, as we read in John chapter 1, verse 11. They did not receive him, and that gave us access, because anybody that was not born a Jew is considered as a Gentile. I don't care if you black, white, Chinese, Pakistan, or whatever. You can be, I don't care what family background you came from. If you are not born a Jew, you are considered as a Gentile. A Samaritan was considered as a Gentile. That's why the woman at the well was surprised that Jesus even spoke to her, because she even told Jesus, the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Because everybody that was a Jew was it. But Jesus didn't come that way. That's the way the Jews thought. We it. But Jesus didn't think that way. Jesus came low. Jesus came humbly and said, I'm not just going to die for my own, but I'm going to die since my own won't receive me. I'm not just going to die for my own. I'm going to die for the world. I'm going to die for that drug addict. I'm going to die for that whoremonger. I'm going to die for that woman that says that the people say that she's nothing, that has 2 and 3 and 5 children out of wedlock. I'm going to die for her. I'm going to die for that man that has multitudes of children and says he's nothing. I'm going to die for that criminal. I'm going to die for that criminal. There was 2 thieves on the cross alongside Jesus. He died for them. He died for everybody. That's why he said, God so loved the world. Amen. Now let's dive deeper into this. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. We just read John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. Now let's go to Romans chapter 11, verse 11. Let's go there real quick and let's see why. Amen. Romans chapter 11. Now, I don't consider myself a Bible scholar because I'm not. I just give you what the Lord gives me. The best Bible scholar of all is Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let's read this. I say then, have they subdued that they should fall? God forbid. But either through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. This was talking about the Jews. This was talking about the Jews. This was talking that said that salvation would come unto the Gentiles. Since his own received him not, he said, I'm going to die for the sins of mankind. I'm going to die for everybody. Because I'm going to have me a church. I'm going to come back down to earth, and I'm going to rapture me a church. Since my own don't receive me, I'm going to have me a church. And I'm going to save the world now. I'm going to save Gentiles now. The first water baptism under the Gentiles was the house of Cornelius. That was the first baptism that happened for the Jews. I mean the Gentiles. They were Gentiles. The house of Cornelius. All of the house of Cornelius was baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's dive deeper into this. If it's just this right here was the engraftment of us. This verse right here, Romans chapter 11, verse 11, was the engraftment of the Gentiles, which is us. Amen. So let's dive a little bit deeper. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 5. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 27. And let's read this, and let's see what the Lord has to say. Because it's the Lord's word anyway. Ephesians chapter number 5. Verse 27. See, remember what I said. The Lord's going to have himself a church. That's why he died for the world. Now watch this. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 27 says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, a glorious church. He's going to have himself a church. I told you. He's going to have himself a church. You might say, well, what church? The church that he's going to rapture out. And this church, look, let me say this right now. I'm going to say this. I'm not talking about denomination neither. I'm not talking about denomination. I'm talking about the church. The church, in my mother's, in First Lady Tuggle's words, the church triumphant. I'm talking about the church triumphant. The church that will be raptured out. The church that is talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Verse 16 and 17. That's the church I'm talking about. I'm talking about the church that has followed the apostles' doctrine. I'm talking about the church that has repented of their sins and been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. that has received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Amen. Why would he come back for a church without blemish? Because the church in the righteous, the church, the righteous church, the glorious church is holy. See, when he comes back for the church, why does it say without spot, without blemish or spot or wrinkle? Because there is not allowed to be any sin in heavenly places. That's why there's some preachers that try to put people in heaven. When a person dies, they try to put people in heaven and stuff. You can't put, I have no heaven or no hell to put nobody in. And let me say that now. I have no heaven, and I'm gonna say it again. I have no heaven or no hell to put nobody in. Nobody on the face of the earth. Not my family. Not, I just have Bible. And the Bible says what we just read in verse 27. That the glorious church is going to be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. The rapture, when the rapture takes place, now you might say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. You're right. You're correct. It's not. But the word rapture means the catching away of the church. This is why Jesus died. This is a lot deeper than just Jesus dying, being put in a tomb and resurrecting. There's more. It's a lot more than this. There's a lot more to it. We got to understand the basis of why he did it. This is why he did it. This is the reasons why he did it. Because we were in need of a Savior. We were in need of a relationship with him. And our relationship was tainted with when Adam fell. And nobody on the face of the earth could die for the sins of mankind. Now, back in the Old Testament, you might say, well, what's going to happen for the people in the Old Testament? They did live by faith. There was no Holy Ghost to be given out. I'm going to tell you that now. Jesus hadn't come. Jesus hadn't died. All right, so they did live by faith, and they had the high priest go into the Holy of Holies and make sacrifices to cover their sins. But when Jesus came and died, he didn't just cover the sin, he blotted out the sin. But the thing is that when he made a way to get out of sin, I'm going to put it that way. When he died, he made a way out of sin to where you don't have to sin no more. Amen. He made a way out because we had no way out. Now, watch this. When we look at heaven, what is going to be, what Jesus dying for our sins, he's coming back to get the church. He died for the sins of mankind so that we might be brought back together with him in relationship, so that we might make it to heaven to be with him for eternity, right? Why is there such great expectations on getting to heaven? Because heaven is holy. Heaven is a righteous place. Heaven is not, look, let me tell you something. There will be no sin in heaven. And I use this all the time. If the devil himself sinned, because he did sin, and was kicked out of heaven, what makes us think that the Lord is going to just allow just anything
in heaven. We have to be set free from sin and the iniquity that we have on our life. We have to be set free to make it to heaven. This is why that verse in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 27 said he's coming back for a church, a glorious church, glorious, without no sin, without no dissimulation to it, without no, there's royalty there, streets of gold. Why would he allow? That's why the Bible says, narrow is the way. There's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. Look, let me tell you something. Any person that dies or they don't live right, hold on, let me say it like this. They don't live right and they die in sin. They have now just taken Jesus' death. They just now put Jesus' death in vain. Jesus' death was in vain in their life. And the reason why I say that is because now, or if they live and the rapture takes place and they're left behind, their life, Jesus' death for their life was in vain. Now they got to die for their own sins. And it's going to be harder. For the ones that are already gone, they're waiting for the judgment. Because you chose not to, just like the Jews. The Jews received him not. Look, you don't want me? That's okay. There's people that will want me. And that's the simplest way I could put it. As far as Jesus. Jesus is like this. You don't want me? There's some people that will want this salvation. I'm not forcing myself. Jesus does not force himself upon no man. He didn't force himself upon the Jews. He said his own received him not. He came into his own and his own received him not. And then he said, all right, you don't want me? I'm going still have me a church. I'm still going to have me a church. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to look at the Gentiles. I'm still going to be there for you, but I'm going to look at the Gentiles as well. My saving power is still for you, but I'm going to go out here and I'm going to look at the Gentiles, and I'm going to see what Gentiles want this great salvation. Because there's some of us that have lived, that are living holy, and that have lived holy, and now they're in heaven now. Those that have gone on, that have not lived holy, I have no heaven or no hell to put nobody in. All I have is Bible. But the Bible says, you can't. He's coming for a church that have made themselves ready without spot or wrinkle. You can't have sin in your life. And this is what Jesus died for. No sin in your life. This goes for saint and sinner. This goes for saint and sinner. If you call yourself a saint of God and you got unforgiveness in your heart, you better get rid of it. If you a sinner, and you ain't been back, and you have not repented of your sins and been baptized in Jesus' name, and been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, you need to do it now. Do not take salvation lightly. Do not take God's death lightly. This is why he came. This is why he died. This is why he was put in the grave. This is why. Look, do you not see Jesus was still working even though he was in the grave? Jesus was still moving even though he was in the grave. See, he went down to hell and took the keys of hell and death from Satan. He was still working. And he came up and retrieved his body on the third day and got up. And all power was given to him, both heaven and in earth. Now, let's go to John chapter 14. I want to look at this real quick because I want you to see something. I want you to see why Jesus said, I'm going to have myself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. This is the reason why Jesus said, without spot or wrinkle. The glorious church will have not a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, any blemish. This is why. I'm going to show you. In John chapter 14, in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, I love this because it gives us a glimpse of what we're going to partake in. In John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." This is what the rapture is. He is gone to prepare a place for us. He said, where I am, you may be also. He's going to come back. This is also talking about the rapture of the church. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled of the things of this world. Don't let your heart be troubled about this and that. Wondering about how I'm going to do this and do that and how I'm going to get here and get there and wondering about the things of this world. Look, let me tell you something. The things of this world will pass away. It's going to pass away one day. Amen. A whole lot of people are troubled by the things of this world. But the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and what? Lose his soul. A whole lot of people are troubled by what they can profit in this life. The money, the cars, the clothes, the drug, all of that stuff. Don't you worry about that stuff. That's why the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't you worry about all this stuff. Don't worry about what the next person's getting. Don't worry about that person is lit. That person might look like he's living better than you and you living holy and the other person's not living holy. Don't you worry about that. Don't you worry about that. This person more worried about what they can pop, what they can get down here in this earth. You better worry about the things you getting in heaven. You better worry about the crown you get in heaven, and stop worrying about the things down here. Now the Bible does say occupy until he comes, because we got to worry about Does that mean we ain't got to worry about having a job and all this stuff? Yeah. Wait a minute. Let me back up. You do got to worry about having a job. Until the Lord comes back, occupy until he comes. The Bible says so. But focus more on the spiritual. But don't focus what I mean by that, focus on the spiritual, but also focus on the natural. Amen. But your soul needs to be the main focus. Focus on the natural. Worry about, you know, work and all this stuff, but don't let it consume your life to the point that you're not concerned about your soul. Your soul is the most important thing that you could ever hold in your life. And this goes to every man, woman, boy, and girl. Your soul is the most, look, nothing. The Bible says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall principalities? Nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. I'll go so deep into that scripture. I love that scripture because it lets me know that I shouldn't let nothing separate me from what God has for me. I should not my children, not my wife, not my mother, my father. If my mother and father want to go, not saying that they are, but if my mother and father want to go astray, that's fine with me. Look, you can go by yourself. Nothing, if man want to go, if my wife want to go, if my children want to go the opposite way, I'm following Christ. I'm following Jesus. I'm following the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I will not let nothing separate me because God died for me. God made a way of escape from my sins. The Bible says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? We are living in a day and time where people are falling by the wayside. They falling for anything. They falling by the wayside for this. They're giving up. They are giving up their seat in heaven for things of this world, which God did not die for. Amen. At this time, I want to give some time to anybody that has a comment in Jesus' name, Spirit Alive family, anybody that has a comment, you can give your comment now in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Minister Tuggle, you do have Bishop Lester Carver and Apostle Zeta Flowers in the house with you this morning.
Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord.
So, Bishop or Apostle, if you have anything you'd like to contribute, now would be the time. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Man, I thank God for this topic on today, because man was condemned by sin. Man was and is. If you have not received salvation, and I'll say it like this: if a man has not received, a man or a woman or a boy or a girl has not received salvation, they are still condemned. Amen. And that's the way I'm going. That's the way the Lord told me to put it. Man was condemned by sin, but God's death on the cross set us free from sin. I'm going to go to John chapter 3. I'm going to go to John chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And just to show you, man, Jesus Christ, this is something that the Lord gave to me right here. In John chapter 3, verse 17 and through verse 19. Amen. It reads, "For God sent not his Son unto the world to condemn the world through him might be saved. He that believed on him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This right here is the condemnation. This is the condemnation, that light is come unto the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Amen. This right here lets us know that the Lord came into this world already not to condemn, because the world was already condemned with sin and shame. So, and some preachers get this scripture twisted, and I hate that, because, well, once saved, always saved. You can live any kind of way and still be saved. That's not true. He came that he didn't come to condemn us. See, a lot of some people say, well, you know, when the preacher's up there talking against sin, oh, they're judging me. All the preacher's judging. No, the preacher's not judging you. He's judging the sin. It just so happened that preacher, the Lord gave him that message or gave her that message, and the Lord has found your sin out, or the Lord has found that person's sin out. And he's trying to get you out of that sin. Amen. So that you won't be condemned by the sin and the shame. See, the condemnation is that your flesh loved darkness rather than light. That's the condemnation. And the shame of the condemnation is that you feel like you're being judged. That's the shame. See, sin brings shame. And a lot of people, some people in the church and out there in the world, they say, well, the pastor's picking on me and the pastor's judging me. No. Uh-uh. We're not judging. We're not judging. Nobody's judging at all. It's the Holy Ghost that's judging you. And look, I'm going to say it like this. I would rather be judged by man than to be judged by God. Because if I'm judged by God, and there's some people that say, well, only God can judge me. Man can't judge me. Only God can judge me. You know what? I hate that statement. I would rather be judged by man, because man don't got no heaven or no hell to put you in. God does. And if you're judged by God in the sin that a person is in, if that person is judged by God and they're still in sin, you know what? That person is going to open up their eyes in hell. Because the Bible, we just read it, the glorious church should not have no spot or wrinkle, which means sin or iniquity. If you have sin in your life, if you have iniquity on you, if you have sin on you, and you leave up out of this world, this goes for saint and sinner. If you got any type of sin, and I'm not just talking about certain sins. I'm not picking out certain sins. I'm talking about every single sin there is. If you got sin on your life and you have not, if you are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you got sin in your life, you need to get rid of it. Because there's sins of commission and there's sins of omission. Sins that you don't know that you're doing, and there's sins that you know that you're doing. And this is what God died for. But God cannot come. This is some of the reason why God has not come back, because he's given us time to get it right. He's given us time. He's given the sinner man time to come unto salvation. He's given the godly man or woman time to get their life together. He's given us time. But the time is coming up short. It's coming to a time now where God is on his way back here. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 16 and 17 is getting coming so quick, it can make your head spin. All of the prophecies in the Word of God have been fulfilled. We are just waiting on the coming of the Lord. And the reason why the coming of the Lord has not happened yet, you might have heard it down through the generations of your life. You might, God's coming back, God's coming back. And you, and there's some people that have heard it and heard it and heard it, and they still, they don't believe it. Oh, I've heard that all down through my life. I've heard this all down through my life. God ain't showed up yet. It must not be real. Let me tell you something. It's real. It's real as you listening to me right now. It's real. Just like, oh my God, Lord Jesus. We have to be ready for the coming of God. God is on his way back here, and he is coming like a thief in the night. He could come today. He could come today, this very second, as I'm talking. Will you be ready? Will you be ready? Is your calling and election sure? I want you to ask yourself, saint or sinner, because I ask myself that every day. Am I ready? And if I'm not ready, Lord, make me ready. Get everything out of me that needs to come up out of me. Make my life whiter than snow. Wash me, purge me, revive me, that I might not hide your word. Allow me to take in your word so I can hide the word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. His word is here to help us not sin against him. The word is here to help us to hide it in our hearts. The reason why we hide the word in our hearts is because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord can lift up a standard. That standard is the word of God. Those times and moments where the enemy creeps in and says, you're this, you're that. You can tell the enemy, no, devil. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. That's hiding the word in your heart that you might not sin against thee. When the enemy tells you, you can't live saved, you can't live holy, the Bible says otherwise. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You ain't got no joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You ain't got no peace. The Bible says I can go back to the word. I can go back to the, thank you, Jesus. I can go back to the word and denounce the devil. This is the sword. This is what we fight with. This will help us make it to heaven. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In this, we find. Let's go to Romans real quick. Romans chapter 5 verse Romans chapter 5 verse 12. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 reads, and this is the reason why. This is why Jesus came. And I'm going to show you right here. In Romans chapter 5 verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This is why Jesus died. This is why God so loved us. Because he knew that sin, that taint, I said the bloodline of mankind was tainted with sin. This is where it started, with Adam. We had no right to heaven. We had no right to the tree of life. We had no right to eternal holiness and bliss. Because of the sin of man, because of the fall of man. But God came out of his soul love. that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his life for us. Amen. Now watch this. You don't believe that that sin tainted with mankind? Let's go to Psalms 51, verse number 5. Psalms 51, verse number 5. Amen. I'm going to read these scriptures real quick because we're almost out of time. Psalms 51, verse number 5. And it reads, "Behold, I was shaping iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We were all conceived in sin. Yes, you didn't do nothing wrong. That's why a morally good individual, a person that does nothing wrong, you're a morally good individual, you don't curse, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you're still a sinner. And I heard a sermon one time, being morally good isn't good enough. You got to be God good. You got to be God good. How do we be God good? Let's go to John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. How do we be from morally good? How do we be from sinner to saint, to sinner to God good? Let's go there. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Let's go here real quick and let's read it. And this is the words of Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Amen. Verse number 4, Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, 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 I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." What this is telling us is that we got to be born again. You were born, yes, you had your first birth, your natural birth. You were born in sin. You were shaping in iniquity, but you got to be born again. You got to be born again. That's why I hate when some of these people say, "Well, I was born this way. I was born like this." Yeah, you were born in sin. But I had a person tell me that they were, I had one of my friends, they were living in sin with homosexuality. And they told me that they were born that way. I said, okay. Well, John chapter 3, verse 3 says you got to be born again. Verse number 5 says you got to be born again of the water and the Spirit. If you was born that way, be born again. Yeah, you were born in sin. You were born that way in sin. Everybody was born that way in sin. You was born in shape and in sin. But you got to be born again. I would rather, and I say this sometimes, in these last few minutes that I have, I would rather live twice and die once than to live once and die twice. What do you mean, Brother Adam? What do you mean? I would rather live twice and die once should I see the grave. I want to live twice. I want to live on this earth, and then I want to die. Should the Lord call me home, I want to die and then live again. I want to step from life into life. I want to step from life into life, from this life into my eternal life. Amen. Because a person that ends up in hell, that's the death. That's the second death.
Yeah.
That's the second death. That means from death to death. That's why I said I would rather live twice than to die once than to die twice and live once. Let's go to how do we receive this born again of the water and the spirit. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. This is what Jesus died for. Come on here. In these last few minutes that I got. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it talks about the day of Pentecost. This was done 50 days after Jesus' resurrection during the Passover. That was the day of Pentecost. That was the day that the Holy Ghost fell. Now let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the reason why I brought up the day of Pentecost, because that day the Holy Ghost fell on them, and they received the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Let me tell you something. If you have received the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues. You will. There is no other scripture to say there is not. Say you will not. The scripture says it. And in Hebrews, he said he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same thing that they did back then is the same thing that you got to do now. It was holiness then, it's holiness now. If it was Jesus, if it was baptism in Jesus' name then, it's baptism in Jesus' name now. Amen. Now, let's go to John chapter 8, verse 36. This is my last scripture. John chapter 8, verse 36. And I hope you've enjoyed this. God's so love. In John chapter 8, verse 36, it reads, amen. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. This is what Jesus died for, to make us free. To make us free, to set us free from sin. This is where John 3:16 comes in at. This backs up John 3:16. And this backs up all the other verses. When the Holy Ghost fell, his spirit came. Amen. In Acts 2 and 38, as we read it, but in verse 39, and it says, And this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto those that are afar off, as many as the Lord thy God shall call. This means that every man, woman, boy, and girl can receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, no matter what age, no matter what race, no matter what background you are. You can receive the Holy Ghost, and you can live holy, because holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. We read it in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. If you do not have his spirit, if you have not taken on water baptism, you cannot see the kingdom of God. It won't happen. You got to do it the Bible way, because there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. You got to do it in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name, I hope you have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. Go get your praise on tomorrow. Go get your praise on. Not for the things that he's given you on the earth. Not for the materialistic thing. Just because he died for you. If he don't bless me with another thing, I thank God that he died. And he set me free. He set me free from the hand of the enemy. And that is a reason to give God some praise.
Amen.
God bless you. I love you. Thank you, Apostle Cook, for allowing us to come again one more time in Jesus' name. These last couple minutes, does anybody have any last remarks, closing remarks? Anybody? Amen. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. This is the Spirit Alive Network, where you can be ye transformed. Make sure you tune in all week long, because we got some great shows coming on the Spirit Alive Network right here on Blog Talk Radio in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, I will see you in the rapture of the church in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.